It's a business marriage. Just like you wouldn't go meet a cute guy at a bar and the very next day you get married, you shouldn't just like get all hot and heavy and jump into a partnership with someone. That's not going to work out well.
Do not get into a partnership with someone who lives in a sketchy gray area. It is not good.
It is very, very difficult anyway to turn a profit in a salon, let alone try to have more cooks in the kitchen, more people on the payroll. They don't even think that far. They're just like, I like you and you like me and we're good at doing hair and let's open a salon.
Welcome to the Seven Figure Salon Podcast with Rachel and Drew. I'm Drew.
I'm Rachel.
Welcome to the show. We're excited to talk a bit about partnerships today and the good, bad, the challenges, the growth.
And the ugly.
The ugly.
Partnerships are definitely something that you guys need to think long and hard about before you actually go into it. It's very much like a marriage. It's literally the exact same thing as a marriage. It's a business marriage. And just like you wouldn't go meet a cute guy at a bar and the very next day you get married, you shouldn't just like, you know, get all hot and heavy and jump into a partnership with someone. That's not going to work out well. And it's important that if you do have a partnership, that you have an operating agreement. Okay. So there's so many different things about it, but first I want to kind of dive into where I see things go wrong in partnerships just to help you guys know what could happen. All right. And then I'll share with you how to basically deploy certain things into the partnership that will help keep things clean and keep things amicable.
And real quick, before you get into that, like the main thing that you want to do is in the human element, you have to have the same values. You have to have the same focus. They have to be a good human being. You have to be focused on right, wrong. Do not get into a partnership with someone who lives in a sketchy gray area. It is not good. Like if you're with someone and they're always negative or they're talking badly about other people or things are always happening and going wrong, do not get into business with that individual. They have to be a solid human being first and foremost.
Yeah. And it's important too that beyond like having great values and being a good person and not having this like dark cloud over them that follows them everywhere, it's important that this person also brings to the table an actual percentage, like whatever percentage they're going to be, that they're bringing along the same percentage of money along with it. And I see a lot in our industry, there's like this whole sweat equity that is earned, or it's like, okay, I'll open the salon and you'll run it, but you don't have to pay for anything. Like, that can only work if it's very clearly defined as to what that person's going to actually be doing. And most times you've got two best friends that are coworkers at a different salon, and then they want to go open a salon together and they're like, let's do it. And so one of them's got money, the other one doesn't have money, but you know, they both know that each other are successful hairstylists and they're like, let's go do this partnership. Mm-hmm. Right. And, or you might even have more than two people. I'm going to tell you that it is very, very difficult anyway to turn a profit in a salon, let alone try to have more cooks in the kitchen, more people on the payroll. So if you're going to have more than one partner, just know that you are going to then divvy up your piece of the pie, not the whole pie, not half the pie, not a quarter of the pie, a piece of the pie. You're now splitting with 2, 3, 4 other people. So just be mindful of that. You know, you have to be realistic and understand what are you hoping to get out of the endeavor? What are you hoping to get as a salon owner? And like, what is that income goal for you? And then are you okay cutting that in half if you bring someone else in the mix? Are you okay giving 3/4 of your piece of pie away, or, you know, a quarter of your piece of pie away? Like, think about it like that. That's super, super important. Because a lot of people they don't even think that far. They're just like, I like you and you like me and we're good at doing hair and let's open a salon. Like, that's not at all going to work out well. And I see partnerships dissolve and literally blow up all the freaking time. Mm.
And we could talk about Rachel and I's partnership here is it's difficult. Like, we'll look back on our story and be like, oh my gosh, we've done so much in such a short amount of time, and like it's wild. It's been
I'm tired.
Fast paced. We're tired a lot.
I'm a little tired. Have a sinus infection today, so sorry.
And it's really like important for us. Like our marriage comes first, and take this and apply it to how you want it. You might not be getting a partner with the person you're married to. However, it's going to be the same thing. Like,
yeah,
what's most important to me and Rachel is our marriage, and her as well. Like, we really we really value that. And if something's not off, if something's off in the business, like we have to like mend our marriage, because we're humans. And that's the most important thing. Like, we can't go do big business and do big things if like her and I aren't on the same page, you know. Right. It's almost impossible, you know. Yeah. So that being said, that is kind of our insurance, if you will, or our safety net, is like we always come back to our marriage, we always come back to each other and like kind of quietly hug it out, you know, or just like, hey, we're, you good? I'm good. Okay, cool. Let's go back into the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
Because if our partnership on a human level is off, the businesses are not going to grow. So you can't be, and how this applies to maybe someone who's not married, a work wife situation. If y'all are off, you're not going to accomplish anything. So you have to have this mutual value of that relationship with whoever you're with to be whole for you to whole and complete. Like, if there's something that you need to say that you're not saying to your partner, y'all need to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Everything's fixable, but a lot of times partners just bury stuff and they hold resentment. And then the business doesn't have a leg to stand on.
I can't tell y'all how many times I've had to get on a coaching call with partners and literally be like a therapist and like help them work through their problems. And every single time the call ends and everything's great. It could start out weird and tense and, you know, there's like just a lot of weirdness in the air. And then by the end of the hour call, they're like hugging it out and they're clearer than ever. But it's all because we were able to, like, I have a unbiased opinion of what's going on. I'm like, I'm not as close to it as they are. I'm not in the trenches with them like every single day, mm-hmm. like they are. So I can see, okay, this happened. You were doing this. This is what was going on. This is why she feels like she's pulling all the weight and you feel, and most times if like number one, it's like there's days where I may factually do more in for our kids or our house or our business or whatever, but like, and then Drew or, and then, you know, flip the other way around. I got a sinus infection. I'm not feeling so hot. And then he's doing the other, you know, heavy lifting. Like, there's going to be give and take, you know. And if you are thinking that you're going to be pulling 50% of the weight and your partner's going to pull 50% of the weight all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year, no, that's not the case. But you have to have clearly defined roles and responsibilities of what each person is doing. And even despite Drew and I being married, now we don't have a roles and responsibilities list formally for our marriage, but for our business, we do. We have an organizational chart. He has his titles. I have my titles. I have the stuff in my lane. He has the stuff in his lane. And the only times, guys, we have friction is when I'm trying to get into his lane or he's trying to get into my lane. And that usually results in friction. And I can promise you, like, 9 times out of 10, anytime like there's issues or like breakdown in communication or whatever, it's likely that I'm trying to step in your lane of responsibilities and vice versa. So with partnerships, make sure that you have an operating agreement. All right. And you can find this online. You can obviously, if you're in our program, we've got plenty of resources and our actual documents for you that you can utilize. But make sure you have an operating agreement. And that just clearly defines what their responsibility is, what your responsibility is, what happens if things go wrong, how do people earn additional equity in the company? What happens if like you don't want to be partners anymore? What happens then?
The exit.
Yeah, the exit. Like let's say it's not working out or something changes. Let's say somebody's husband gets a transfer to a different country. Like, you know, like you just never know what could happen. Or maybe somebody, you know, they don't have any kids and then they start a family and they're like, you know what? I really love being a mom. I really want to be able to do this. And this doesn't really align with like my life plan anymore. Like, the operating agreement will clearly define what happens when those things happen, yeah, right? Or if they happen.
You need to talk about those things on the front end instead of approaching the partnership like you're skipping through daisies and with, you know, looking at everything through rose-colored lenses. Like, life is going to happen. Building a salon is not complicated.
No.
Life is complicated. So the life part makes the salon part difficult. Like, salon is, you got average client ticket, you got services rendered, you got a team rendering those services. You got margins. Like, that's that game, you know? The life stuff is complex. Having kids is complex, you know.
Imagine if like Drew and I got married and we never even had the conversation of like, oh, do we want to have more kids? Do we not? This, that, and the other. Like that, I've seen it happening in marriages where one person wants kids, the other one doesn't. And I'm just kind of like, well, didn't you guys talk about this before you like put a ring on it? And like literally like wedged your lives together. Like, wouldn't that have been something you'd talk about? And although that might look like common sense to me, like my level of common sense or Drew's level of common sense is unique to the person. It's my, what I believe is common sense is different than Drew, and vice versa. And so you have to make it common knowledge that that is something that needs to be talked about. So the operating agreement, number one, most important thing, if you have a legitimate business, meaning you have an LLC, you have an operating agreement. If you have multiple member LLC, you have an operating agreement that is required for you to be able to do business. If you are doing this, like if you're like duct taped your salon together and you kind of have this like informal partnership where you're like, I'm the owner, but like she's a co-owner, but she doesn't really have ownership. And like, there's no like actual moves in place of like when that's going to be in motion. Like that doesn't work. And that is definitely set up to fail every single time. So there are different types of ownership. Doesn't mean that person has to have money. Doesn't, it's like, okay, if you don't have money, that's fine. But this is what you will be doing. You're going to now pay for all this with your time, right? Mm-hmm. And that's called sweat equity. When you're earning ownership in a company, and there's several ways that you can do it, but you need to track it. You need to make sure that you track that. And I'm going to give you an example of how we have a stylist that's earning ownership in one of our locations. Her name's Hannah. And Hannah's earning ownership. And every time that she does any owner-related admin tasks, she clocks in. And she only clocks in so that we can track that time that she is spending working on the business. And then what's going to happen is after the business has been in business for 2 years and we're coming up on the 2-year mark, we're going to get a business evaluation. And then that will then determine what that time is worth once the business has an evaluation of what it is worth. And so that is how that is done. Now, I see this happen a lot where there's no tracking. And then that's when resentment happens, right? People start resenting other people because they feel, keyword, that they are doing all of these things and then this person's doing nothing or whatever. Like you're like a day in the life of Hannah looks different than a day in the life of Rachel or Drew or Chrissy or any of the other people in our business. So don't ever assume that you know exactly what that person's day in the life looks like because you don't. But also make sure that's why the time clocking is so important, because I can feel like Hannah is doing all these things or isn't doing all these things. But when it comes down to it, is it clocked? Is it tracked? Right. And that will show exactly how much time is being spent working on the business versus working in it, because she's also a hairstylist. She's also working in it, and she's definitely working more in it as a hairstylist most weeks than she is working on it. Right. So it just depends, like, but you have to, however it's going to be laid out, whether that person's earning 5%, 10%, 20%, 50%, whatever, that needs to be clearly defined in their time of what they're spending.
Yeah. And then another great resource to add into is a book. I was just looking at my phone, called The Power of Positive Leadership by John Gordon. That is a really good book. I just got into that. I've heard guys that we're fortunate enough to sit down and talk to, like Eddie Wilson, and they swear by this book.
Yeah.
It is a huge, huge, huge piece of really learning how to lead your team positively, but also holding them accountable, you know. So you have to be, your leadership has to evolve. And if you're leading with another person, that's partnership. So both people need to constantly grow in their ability to lead, the ability to build business. You can work out the specifics, but it's always going to come back to the human element. You're always going to come back to that. And what I wanted to talk about too, with what Rachel did when she was on the call with them, and you're going to need to do this with your team. Rachel hopped on a call with two owners, and Rachel did what's called, she held the space for that conversation to happen. Now, it requires energy from a person. I mean this in a woo-woo sense. This sounds kind of philosophical, but I mean this literally. Like, you were literally little balls of energy, and she created a call with the owners and held space for them to discuss what they needed to discuss to move it forward. If she did not hold that space to have that conversation, it wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't exist. It wouldn't have literally happened. So as a leader, you're going to have to, oftentimes, you have to manage yourself. You have to manage your ability to lead. You have to manage your energy. That's why for me, going to the gym, doing jiu-jitsu, like, I'm managing myself so I can do what we need to do. Hold space for us, our family, for Rachel, for the marketing, for the sales, for the team, everything we got to do. If I don't do that, I can only hold a little bit of space, you know? So when you do that, you're gonna have to be able to do this all the time. And if you're a leader, you need to understand how to create and facilitate that environment, rather, to have the conversation. That conversation thereby gives you choice. The choice is what you implement into your day. Put that shit on the calendar and execute.
Yeah. If it doesn't get on the calendar, you guys know it's not happening. Like, we're very, like, especially in our industry, we're very appointment based. Like, our brain thinks in little rectangular blocks that are colorful on our calendar. So if you don't have anything on your calendar and you're sitting here trying to, like, oh, hey, can I talk to you for a second? Can we all be honest? It's not going to be a second. So why not give that topic the attention that it deserves? And especially because of the context of what it is. If you're going to discuss your partnership, you're going to have a meeting, you're going to do this, don't make it an, oh, by the way. Like, oh, by the way, like that's what I call an, oh, by the way, versus setting up a meeting. Don't talk about important shit in passing. That is not going to work. And that person's not going to understand that, like, what you have to talk about is important. And you also want to make sure that if you, you know, like literally use the verbiage that I just said. I want to talk with you, and I want to talk about this. If you have someone that's talking to you, like, trying to talk about something that you're not ready to talk about, but like, hey, I really want to talk about this, but I want to set up a time for us to talk about this together because I want to give this topic the attention that it deserves. And that way that person doesn't think that you're blowing them off. And you're also acknowledging that it is important to you, so much so that you want to actually put it on the calendar.
And prepare for it.
Yeah, and prepare for it. Yeah. And actually, I don't think I've told you this, but we're actually doing a couple day training with John Gordon himself. Mm. And it's on our calendar. I just added it yesterday. So I'm excited.
Very cool.
May 22nd and 23rd in Florida.
Ooh.
So that'll be fun.
Always developing, always learning, guys.
Yeah.
Always. There's always a bigger fish.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's important too, like, you know, especially when you're leading a team or leading a company or leading clients, like we're leading people all the time. And like, we have to be led as well. Like, if you're just the one leading, and, you know, it ends up becoming very exhausting. And like, you just don't, you're not like bright, shiny and bubbly about like growing, you know? So that's why we go out of town all the time. And we go to events and we go to masterminds and we have coaches, and like, we're all plugged in because it's important that we get filled up as well, because we're constantly filling up everybody else.
We pull that stuff outside of the industry directly into our programs and pour into our clients.
Yeah.
That's kind of our game.
You know? Yeah. And we'll leave you guys with that, you know, just really, really like simmer on that partnership, you know, and if you're in one, I would really like rate yours 1 through 10, 10 being like, I have my shit together. Everything's great. You know, we have agreements. We have a clear defined, you know, exit plan of like what happens if something happens, or one being like, no, I don't have any of that. Like, rate yourself and be honest, be brutally honest with yourself. And then you know what to do. Like, you know what things you need to get into place. And if you want to talk further about it, or maybe you're having conversation debt, and you're wanting to work through these challenges, like, reach out to us, like, reach out on Instagram, book a call with us. We'll have links below. Like, we can help you navigate all of that. That way we can, you know, we can repair whatever damage might be there, and then set it up correctly moving forward, because it's the lack of things being set up that likely led to this not working out for you, you know? So anyways, we'll leave you guys with that. We hope you have a great day and a great rest of your week, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Later.